Life is a journey. The journey begins when we see Jesus rightly and we declare, I have decided to follow Jesus. That decision begins a lifelong pilgrimage to become more like him every day. Every day we should revisit our decision to follow Jesus to give context to how we think, speak, and act. Often we'll find that paramount decision comes with other decisions that we've never had to make before. Have we ever decided too fast, taken forever to decide, or decided not to decide at all? One decision made today can become 1,000 decisions on the road ahead that transform us into his image. So what are you deciding today?
One of my greatest joys of seeing my kids grow up has been these times that happen spontaneously where it's my kids and I in the living room late at night, and they're just sitting around saying, Dad, tell us a story. And so I'll tell them stories, and then my story is, how did you and Mom meet, or how did you come to be a pastor, or what did you do when you were growing up, or what was it like in the military? And I'll tell them stories, and it was just recently that one of my kids told me that the next generation now has a word to describe when dads tell stories of dumb things they did when they were young. It's called dad lore. And apparently I have a lot of it. Someone once asked me, how can you like those Chiefs? Don't you know they cheat, right? Don't you know they're the villains? Don't you know that the refs just help them and everything? But let me tell you my story on why I like the Chiefs. See, I grew up not liking professional sports really at all. I didn't watch football at all. I mean, I even had this youth pastor growing up. I lived in Texas. It was the 90s. It was the time when the Cowboys were actually good. Never been good since. I still couldn't. I mean, my youth pastor would make us watch every one of those Super Bowls, and I just could care less. It was a few years back, about 10 years ago, we were in Kansas City serving at a church there, and a former Chiefs player began attending our church. And he would volunteer with our children's ministry, and he still worked for the Chiefs, and he calls me up and he says, Ryan, would you like a private tour of the Chiefs stadium? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. And so I brought my kids with me, and I brought my sister-in-law with me, who's a big football fans, and we got to take a private tour of every place, the owner's suites and all the box seats, and he even took us out on the field. And it was from that point on that because I got to see behind the scenes of the organization and be there, I felt a connection to the Chiefs, but there is a story about the Chiefs and me that I have never told anyone before this moment. You are the first to hear it. On that tour, we went into the locker room, and the Chiefs player was describing how the locker room hasn't changed much. It's not very modern and everything, but they have a lot of traditions in the locker room, and in those traditions on who gets what locker and what they do, but there's something very sacred right in the middle of the locker room. And what's in the middle of the locker room is a huge carpet logo with the Chiefs on it, with the Chiefs logo is on the floor. And I had already seen the logo, and I had stepped on it, walked around it and everything. And as he's telling us the story about the Chiefs logo there, they said, it's so sacred, no one walks on it. He said, that's funny. There's usually like stanchions around it, like so you know you don't walk on it, but they must have moved them last night because they had hosted a concert. And I had walked on the sacred carpet. He said, if anyone ever walks on the carpet, our team's cursed. They'll never win again. But here's what I do know, that ever since I stepped on their sacred carpet, guess what? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. We're about to watch history. It's fun to share stories, isn't it? And today, we're looking to ask and answer this question as we explore God's story today. what's my story? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones, pull up the Bible app. We're turning today to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're reading out the New Living Translation. And you should have received some notes when you walked in today. There's a handout with some fill-in-the-blanks. If you did not get one, if you'll raise your hand right now, one of our auditorium hosts will come by and make sure you have one of those notes. The answer is going to be up on the screen as we go. And do know that when we get to the end of the notes, I promise I'll be done. As we get into Mark chapter 5, let me tell you what just happened in Mark chapter 4. Jesus has been doing ministry. He's been out. He's been teaching. He's been telling some great stories and some awesome things about the kingdom of God. And it was the end of the day, and the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, let's get in a boat and go on the opposite side of the lake." And so they did. And as they were in the boat traveling at the nighttime to get to the opposite side of the lake, a big storm came up. They described the storm as a terrible storm, that it was so bad that they were really scared during the storm. Now, you have to imagine, some of these disciples, they made their living on boats. And it said they were all scared. So this must have been a really, really, really bad storm. At some point, they realized, wait a second, where's Jesus? And they look in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. Well, there's Jesus napping away. And they woke him up and they said, "Jesus, Jesus, don't you care that we're all going to die?" Now, if they'd used their brains, they would think, hey, as long as we're with Jesus, we're okay. Like, if Jesus is so de-stressed about this situation that he can take a nap, they're probably okay. But they woke him up. He's like, guys, hold on. Man, how much more can I put up with you guys and your lack of faith? And he just said, hey, peace. And everything went still. And the Bible says the disciples are like, who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? They just experienced this when we get to Mark chapter 5. They arrive at the other side of the lake. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet them. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as often he was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that we would be challenged to go to our next level with you, and that we would grow and change. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. I got a message this last week from one of my cousins, and I thought I'd share this message with you. You see, he has 2 tickets for Super Bowl 59 coming up in a couple weeks in New Orleans. He paid $6,500 per ticket. He did it over a year ago. He really wanted to go. It's on his bucket list. And he didn't realize last year when he bought these tickets that it was going to end up being on the same day as his wedding. If you are interested, he is looking for someone to take his place. It's at Grace Church in Overland Park, Kansas at 3 p.m. Her name is Ashley. She's 5'2", about 130 pounds. She's a good cook, and she'll be the one in the white dress. Stories get our attention. They make us laugh. They make us cry. They make us hurt. They fill us with joy. They do all sorts of things. They affect us. You know, every year, billions is spent by Hollywood just to tell us stories. And did you know that 75% of the entire Bible is a narrative or a story? It's a story of God at work, but it's not over and it's not done. The story that God is writing He's also writing it in you, and he's writing it in me. That when we decide to make Jesus the leader of our life and then even decide to grow to our next level with God, stories are being written whether we realize it or we don't. You see, when you're pursuing change, you are growing. And the story of your change, it's powerful. That's why our sixth focus here at Focus Church says this, that growing people change, share your, you got it. So what we just read here in Mark chapter 5 is that as they got to the other side of the lake, there's a madman. There is a guy who is possessed by demons that no one can control. His life is out of control. This is scary stuff. You see, what they allude to is that time and time after again, the townspeople get together to try to tie him up, to restrain him, and he's able to break out of chains. I mean, this is like horror movie story stuff. Crazy. And as Jesus gets out of the boat, this guy starts running at Jesus. And he begins yelling at Jesus. And he's like, why are you here? Why are you here? You can't, you're not allowed to be here. And what it was the demons inside him were speaking to Jesus. And Jesus is like, today, you're going to do your exit strategy here. You're leaving. I'm sending you guys out. And the demons talk back to Jesus. They're like, hey, there's a lot of us in here. We just don't want to go anywhere. Can we get a choice? And Jesus is like, what do you want? It's a weird conversation. I mean, this is like a story. Like, you can make a movie of this. And the guy says, the demons say through him, there's a herd of pigs over there. Send us to those pigs. And Jesus is like, okay, go. And immediately they leave the guy. They go to the pigs. The pigs start going crazy. They begin running, and they run themselves off a cliff, and they die. Now, it'd been interesting to see this all go down, wouldn't it? Because the Bible describes that as soon as this supernatural event took place, that the guy who was possessed by demon, who's all cut up and gnarly, it says he was fine. He was okay. He was in his right mind, not his left mind. See, Jesus worked a miracle, and the disciples and Jesus weren't the only ones who saw what happened. You see, those pigs that were over there, they weren't there by themselves. They were there with pig shepherds. Didn't know there was a such thing, right? The people who took care of pigs. And here's kind of a funny thing. They were amazed. They saw this. They saw their pigs commit suicide by jumping off the cliff. This was weird. They saw Jesus. This was stuff that, like, no one would believe your story kind of stuff. But I want to take a pause right now just for a moment to think, wait a second. Why were Jewish people farming with pigs? You'll think about that. You'll wonder too. You see, when you pursue change, when God works in your life, when he does something that blows your mind, you become modern day living proof that God is real and that he loves you. Let me ask you a question. You just think about the answer. How many of you have ever had God do something amazing on your behalf? You're thinking, in your mind, you're raising your hand, right? But the question really is, have you shared the story? I was reading this week in Genesis and reading all about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Shalee and I are doing the whole year Bible plan together. And that's what part we're in. And there's a point in Genesis chapter 24 where Abraham's getting old. His son Isaac is there. He's growing up. And he takes his servant aside and says, hey, you got to go find my son a wife. But I don't want one of these girls from here. I want it from where my family's from, you know, back yonder. Promise me you won't let him go there. Promise me you won't let him marry anyone else but someone from there. The servant's like, okay, I'll go. And the Bible describes that the servant goes to this land where Abraham used to be from. And as he's getting closer to the location, he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And so what he does is he prays to God. He said, God, I believe you're real. I need your help. I need for you to help me out. I'm about to come up to a well, and I want you to have there be a woman there who offers me to give me a drink. I'm going to ask her and say, hey, will you give me a drink from this well? And if she says, hey, yes, I'll do it, and I'll give water to all your camels too, then I'll know she's the one I'm looking for. It's kind of crazy, huh, that he put this all together. But before he left on his trip, his master Abraham told him, he said, I'm praying that God sends angels to go before you, to lead you and guide you. So he's asking for God's help. And sure enough, he comes to this well. There's a young lady who comes forward to get water. And he says, hey, young lady, can I get a drink, please? And she's like, sure. And do you want water for your camels too? Let me get them a drink too. And now the servant's like, whoa, could this be? And he's like, okay. Who are you related to? And she reveals who she's related to. And guess what? She's from the same family as Abraham's family. Like, he found the first person he meets in this land is the one. And God answered his prayer. And so he went to their house. And they're like, hey, why are you staying with us? He's like, let me tell you the story. And it's kind of funny, but this guy, the servant, the Bible records him saying the whole story all over again. I mean, like us as the readers, reading chapter 24, we just read the story. And then we're now reading him tell the story all over again, word for word. And they hear the story, and they're like, wow, our daughter needs to go with you. This is a God thing. You see, he shared the story of what God did in his life. It boosted his faith, and it boosted their faith. He shared the story. You see, there's power in the story of your journey, and your story gets people's attention. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, known as Texas, our family took a vacation. My kids were very young. We went with my in-laws, as we often do, and as we went on vacation, it always centered around shopping and beaches. I think we had to go find a swimsuit for someone, so we went to a Ross Dress for Less. We're in there looking around, and we got the whole family there. I got five little ones there, all our kids, and the in-laws are there, and we're just shopping around when all of a sudden Shalee goes, hey, where's Riley? Now, Riley had been in a stroller strapped in sleeping. And we looked around, and where's her stroller? We're in a store. We're in a Ross Dress for Less, and her stroller's missing, and she's missing. And so we're just looking. Hey, anyone seen Riley? Hey, have you seen Riley? Where's Riley? We're looking at Riley, and we're looking around, and with each second that passes, boom, where's my girl? We alert the store authorities. They shut down the store, closed the door so no one could get out. We fear the worst. And we're panicked, looking everywhere. Riley! Riley! But there's no stroller. There's no Riley. Now, she had to be like three years old at this point. Did someone take my girl? It was years that we're there looking for her. Or what felt like years. Maybe it was only 10 minutes, maybe it was 15. I don't know. It was forever. And finally, our middle boy speaks up. His name's Ryden. He's like, hey, Mom, Dad. We're like, oh, hold on. We're looking for you. Are you looking for Riley? And we're like, wait a second. Do you know where Riley is? He's like, yeah, I was pushing Riley in the stroller. We're like, then where is she? He's like, I got rid of her because I was tired of pushing her stroller. We're like, what did you do? He had taken one of those big closed circle racks. He parted the clothes. He pushed the stroller in. He closed it up and said, I'm done pushing my sister. Losing a child got our attention. And you, hearing our story years later, it probably got your attention too. And I don't think I saw anyone sleeping during that part of the message, right? And when the pig herders when they saw what happened, they left and they began telling the story of what they saw to anyone who would listen. And anyone who would listen heard the story. And when they heard the story, they had to go see it for themselves. They came. They want to see, is it true? Did it really happen? Stories get our attention. You know, that's the whole basis for news and social media. It gets our attention. I think Facebook does too good a job of getting our attention sometimes. They've got some sort of time warp thing going on that you just all just look to see, check what time it is on your phone. Before you know it, 45 minutes is gone and you don't know what happened, but Facebook was involved. But not only can your story get other people's attention, your story can affect others. When all the people gathered around Jesus and they saw the guy who was formerly known as the madman, they saw a changed life in front of them. He was different. He was not the same. And then they shared the story again. The people who were there shared the story again of what had happened, and the crowd was affected by the story. The Bible describes that they did three things in a row. And so here's what I need to do. I'm going to call out these three things, and I want you guys to be the crowd, and I need to do some acting today. I need you to act out what the crowd felt. You got this? So we're going to do a practice one. This is not one that the crowd felt, but happy. There you go. Okay, yeah. I see smiles on faces. Okay, you got this. Okay. Okay, so here it is. Here's the first one. The first reaction the crowd got when they heard the story of what Jesus just did with this madman. The crowd was in awe. Good. You guys are awesome. Okay. And then the Bible says it quickly changed, and then they got mad. Now, why would they go from awe to mad? Well, they were awed because, whoa, this is crazy. Whoa, this is kind of cool. Whoa, it's kind of scary. Like, they didn't know what to think about it. They were in awe. But then they realized they owned those pigs, and they just lost a lot of money. That's why they were mad. Show it again, mad. There we go. But then the Bible says they were scared. That was awesome. That was good. That was awesome. You know why they were scared? Because they're like, wait a second. Is this for real? Did this really happen? Were demons really involved? Who is this guy who could tell demons to just go? We've seen the madman, and now he's not mad. Could they be in me? They were scared. You know, it's been said your story might be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. What God is doing in your life does have an impact on others if you share what is happening, what God has done, how you have been changed. But this crowd who was in awe, this crowd that got mad, this crowd that got scared, they asked Jesus, "Can you leave?" You see, Jesus and his disciples, they prepared to get into the boat to say, okay, we'll leave. We won't stay here. And the guy who was formerly known as the madman, he wanted to go with Jesus too. And in Mark chapter 5 and verse 18, it says that as Jesus was getting into the boat, the demon-delivered man begged to go along, but Jesus wouldn't let him. Jesus said to this man, he said, go home to your own people. Tell them your story, what the master did, how he had mercy on you. And the man went back and began to preach in the 10 towns area about what Jesus had done for him. He was the talk of the town. So although the people blocked Jesus from being able to minister in this area known as the 10 town area, that they got in a boat and left, they were only there for minutes, maybe hours, the message went forth with the guy who was living proof that Jesus is real, Jesus is powerful, and Jesus cares. And that was more effective than Jesus himself going to those towns. Now, I find it interesting that as I'm looking at it and I'm being a detective here, I'm saying, wait a second, this guy wants to be with Jesus. I bet he would do anything to be with Jesus. I think if Jesus did a miracle for us, we'd do the same thing too. We're like, Jesus, I just want to be at your presence. I just want to be at your feet. I just want to be where you are in your presence. We would want that. And she's saying, nope. You got a mission. I got something I need you to do now. That if I've done something great, if I've done a miracle, if I've delivered, if I've changed you, you've got a story and you've got to share that story because telling your story is your mission. Jesus wanted him to tell stories of what happened, knowing that it would get people's attention, that it would affect people, and that he would be living proof that God is real and God does miracles. The Apostle Peter, he gives us this directives as Jesus followers. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Now, to show that we understand what we need to do, we need to make a declaration today. And it might look something like this. If you look on the orange box in the back side of your notes, it says this, that I have decided to share my stories of God changing my life. Someone who had a great story was a guy named Saul who became Paul. And he did not start off as a follower of Jesus, but he had a miraculous miracle that happened that changed his life. And he did everything he could to tell people about Jesus afterwards. And God used him in an amazing way to tell lots of people, to start lots of churches, and to take the good news of Jesus farther than Israel, farther than Jerusalem and Judea. He went to the uttermost parts, to all the Gentiles. And we, as Gentiles, most of us are Gentiles, we can be thankful that this guy's life was changed and that he went, as God led him, to give the good news to those who weren't Jewish, that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus delivers, that he cares, that you can be forgiven, that you can be set free, that you can be a part of God's family. This was the message. This was the story. But there came a point, as recorded in Acts chapter 26. I invite you to read the story for yourself. You got to back up a couple chapters, then read a couple chapters past it. Interesting scenario. Because there comes a point that the Jewish leaders are so mad at Paul that they make up charges and they have him arrested. But since they lived in a Roman-occupied area, they couldn't just do it themselves. They had to involve the Romans. And so the Jewish leaders, they said, hey, here's his crimes. He needs to have a trial. And so we want to accuse him. And so it got set up that he had this trial and he got put before Festus and King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, when he saw Paul in the courtroom, he said, Paul, tell me your story. And Paul begins to tell a story as recorded in chapter 26. And he shares his journey on how he was a devout Jew and he was zealous for God and he followed everything right to the letter of the rule. And he thought that Jesus' followers were off their rockers, that they were not in their right brain, they were in their left brain. They were not sane, they were a threat. They were wrong, and so he went after them. He tortured them. He captured them, and he had them put to death. He even traveled with orders to other towns to go arrest more Christians. That was his job. That was his mission. And yet, on one day, as he's on the road to Damascus, Jesus meets with him, and he has an encounter with Jesus that changes everything. And so Saul, who turned to Paul, tells his story and how he changed and how he's now been bringing this good news that Jesus saves, that God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin and set us free. But God did not leave him dead in the grave, but on the third day rose him to life as the firstborn of those who had experienced resurrection, proof that there is life after death, that there is hope for eternity. There's hope for you and me. This was his story. And as Paul is sharing this story in front of Festus and the king, he all of a sudden gets interrupted. He gets interrupted by King Agrippa. And he says, hey, if you keep this up much longer, you'll make a Christian out of me. He realize he was being affected by Paul's story. That Paul's story about how his life was changed and how he was now on mission, it was changing the king's heart just as he heard it that day. And he's like, whoa, 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 I'm not sure I can do this. Hold on, you keep on going. I'm going to become a Christian just like you. And here's how Paul responded. He said, that's what I'm praying for, whether it's now or it's later. But not only you, but everyone who's here listening, I pray that all of you become like me, a follower of Jesus. Stories matter. Your story of what God's doing in your life matters. You need to share your story. Even if it's small, even if you think does it matter? It does. Your story shared at the right time, at the right place, with the right person can make all the difference in someone else's life. And never know. Because your stories, they get people's attention. They affect people. And your story is living proof that God is real. And so we started off by asking this question: what's my story? Whatever it is, don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes as we talk to God for the next few moments. God, it's wonderful to see in your word how many stories there are that give us hope, that show there's life. And it's your mission, it's your vision that we would share the stories of what you're doing in our lives, that we wouldn't keep it to ourselves. And we see through the story of what your son did with this madman on the beach, how he delivered him and set him free, that he put him on mission immediately, that even though Jesus himself wasn't able to visit those 10 towns, this former madman was, and everyone knew who he was and how he was, and they can see for themselves the change. They can see for themselves how he was different. They could hear who did it. God, I believe that many people believed because of his story. And God, I pray that we would not discount the stories that you're writing in our lives, but that we would be committed to always sharing our stories, to share our journey. That is your mission for us. So God, we ask for your help. We ask for your favor. Help us to share the right story to the right person at the right time in the right way. May it make a difference in someone's life. May it be the key that unlocks a whole nother level for someone else. Help us, God, to not keep it to ourselves, but to share the change, to share the story of our journey. We love you, God. Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, we said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity at the end to receive that hope. And here we are at the end. God loves you so much. If God has the power to deliver a madman and to set him free, then he definitely has the power to reach into your situation, to your life, wherever you are at, no matter what's going on, to set you free as well. But it all starts with coming to Jesus, to make a decision to say, God, I need you in my life, that I want to be a follower of you. I want to make you the leader of my life. We recognize that we shouldn't be the main character in our own life story. We give that spot to God, and he changes everything. You see, when we make the decision, when we say, I decide to follow Jesus, we're forgiven. We're set free. We become a part of God's family. Things change. We grow. God gives us hope. He gives us joy. He gives us purpose. He gives us mission to help other people find him too. We see that evidence in the story of the madman here today in Mark chapter 5. And your story can change today too. You may say, Pastor, how do I do this? How can my story change? What do I need to do? Well, you need to have a conversation with God where you go all in. This conversation is something we simply call prayer, but it's not scary. It's just talking to God. When you talk to God, you're basically saying and recognizing that we're not worthy, that we have sin. It's appropriate to say we're sorry for our sins, that we've messed up and not done the right things. We want to get right with God. We got to believe that God loves us and that he cared enough to send his son to this planet to die for us, to die for our sins, and that God raised him from the dead. And then we got to decide, will you go all in? And it's when we pray this prayer that everything changes. Now, we're not meant to follow Jesus alone, and that's why Jesus himself says there's a part two where we go public with our faith, and we do this by getting water baptized, and we celebrate that here at Focus Church when God adds to the family. But right now, we're focusing on that first part, the important part, this conversation with God, this prayer, and I want to help you with this prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say out loud, God, you're the one in charge of me. You're my Lord. You're the boss of me, my leader. But you're not going to be the only one praying here with me today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us, because no one prays alone here at Focus Church, because this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge, going all in. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.